Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly.
Here with us today, we have Mike Ford, who is one of the spotters for Simon Pagenaud during the IndyCar season. But what you don't know is that he's also going to be a spotter in a couple weeks at the Rolex 24 down in Daytona. So we just kind of wanted to touch base with you, Mike, and talk about some of the differences and similarities. But first off, we want to know, are you spotting for only Simon or for everybody on the team?
Well, first, girls, thanks for having me back. Appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year season,
finally.
You too. You too.
I will actually be doing Simon's team, which will consist of Montoya, Dane Cameron, and Simon. And, I did it for Penske last year, their first year back. And the funny part about it is I probably spotted for Simon less than the other two drivers. So, we'll find our time. But, it's good for him, with me being the only spotter he's had in IndyCar, to listen to some other people and, give me some feedback and find out what I could do better and stuff like that. So, ready to go.
Very cool. So how many spotters are there on your team? Is it you and just one other person, or do you have three as well?
It kind of seems wherever I've spot, for some reason, they kind of put me like as den mom to kind of run a little bit of the program when we're up there. So I'm not saying right or wrong, but everybody kind of like, how do you want to do this? So my 14th 24, and I would say since doggone day one, it's been 3 hours on and 3 hours off. So I will have another spotter. It's going to be Harry Reynolds, and Harry's been with Penske for, gosh, I'm going to guess 20, 25 years. He's won the 500 over the wall, and he was actually Will's spotter this past year at the 500 up in turn one. So good experience there, no having to teach him. So, yeah, him and I will go 3 hours on and 3 hours off.
Oh, my gosh.
That's quite the 24-hour period for you.
Yeah.
Well, you hope it's a good 24-hour period. So, I like to talk about it. It's actually my second favorite race to do.
Yeah.
And if you're running up front, man, it's such a fun race. But, boy, if you're like 25 laps down, which I've done before, about 6 hours into it, it can be the most miserable race.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Well, good.
No.
Good deal. You try to sleep in your office?
What you want to try to do, at least I do at my ripe young age, is like last year, we actually had access to the Penske suite, which Mr. Penske was kind enough to let us use. And I actually got probably a good hour and a half sleep throughout the evening, which is probably double of what I've ever gotten before. And usually it's sitting inside a passenger seat. So, good creature comfort. So, but yeah, I'll try to get me, if I can get me a good hour in, and if you're up front, you're fine.
Gotcha. Just a little cat nap, just to rejuvenate.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Molly and I actually, last year we attempted to sleep, because prior to the 24 last year, I could sleep. I would always say I could sleep through anything. I now know that's all.
Yeah.
I cannot sleep through a Cadillac engine.
Yep, no, those are loud.
Yeah.
So, and then we saw RP, Roger Penske, 808 full 24, and we thought, you know what, we're going to join him. So this year we're pulling a Penske, and we're staying up all 24 hours.
Yeah, I understand the deep, throaty rumbles. That's why if you're trying to get a little catnap, which I find it important to try to do, just to try to get away from it.
Yeah.
But it's definitely earplugs for me. You're right. That deep rumble, you're not sleeping through that. Hell, you might as well have a train track running by your bedroom window. So
it really is. And it was funny because it didn't even hit me at all that I might have trouble sleeping through it, because I sleep through everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can fall asleep everywhere. And that one, I finally turned to Molly and I was like, I know you're not sleeping because I can't sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing when you get through the infield how the place goes dormant from, a lot of the motorhomes and stuff are closed up. And I'm like, man, how are they sleeping through this? And then I realize, well, they're partying, so now I know why they're probably able to sleep, but that's about the only way you could do it, I do believe.
I think so.
I mean, we gave it the old college try on that front, too.
So.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So you said it's your second favorite race. What's your first favorite?
You want to guess?
The interview is over.
Yeah.
Stop it. Yeah. Of course, the 500.
Yeah.
It always will be. Absolutely will always be number one.
What is it that you like about the 24 that puts it in that second place?
It's just completely different. You don't get, like, the so-called, what I'll call intense spotting you do, you know, like Indies and the Texas and the Iowa. It's more insurance policy spotting. And instead of like zeroing in so much of your car at the 24, you have to watch around for like the GTs, the gentleman drivers, and all the other things that can go on. And plus, that big of a track and so many different corners, you know, it's just you're on your toes the whole time. But again, it's not as intense, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But and just, you know, to me personally, I find it the second biggest race in the country.
Sure.
And it's just so unique, the night racing, the different cars. It's just got a really cool factor to it that I really enjoy. And then plus, the way the crowds have been picking up. When I started this, you know, that's right when Grand Am had started. And, man, when I went for the first couple of years, like, man, you know, this is really cool. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the past 4 or 5 years, man, this place has just picked up so much steam with the crowds and stuff. And, you know, like any race, man, that adds to it. So, and, you know, it's a big race. Everybody knows about it, and it's proven by all the big-time drivers that are coming here. So that just helps build it up as well. And then the infield, you know, it's a party atmosphere. So it's got everything. You know, to me, it used to be when I first got there, you know, this is a cool race. Now it's like a really cool event around the race. So,
I like that.
Just thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. I think you had it right. It's like an event surrounding this race. And I think, Abby and I, you probably agree, that night racing with all the cars and the way they light up, it's just magic, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, hell, how many racetracks have a Ferris wheel in the middle of it? If you're down 20 laps, you can binocular in on the Ferris wheel and see the people riding up to it. No, just kidding.
All right. Well, if that happens, we'll wave from the Ferris wheel for you.
Okay. Absolutely. And then the other thing, I don't mind it because we have the correct accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we can discuss that if you want. You're allowed to spot inside there if you want, but I like being outside.
Sure.
And we keep ourselves dry. But, man, you know, a little rain or something like that in the middle of the night, watching these guys drive, man, you understand why they do what they do.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You
know, they're just phenomenal. And I don't mind the rain. As long as I'm dry and warm and watching those guys get in the rain, to me, that just adds to it. And I think that's another neat factor of the 24 to include the rain. If I had my way, man, I'd love to see a 2 or 3 hour rain part of the race. Mandatory. Ooh. You know, because it really lets the cream rise to the top.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
That separates the boys from the men.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Now, that would sound really cool.
Well, you know, one of the cool things about this race that we've heard from the guys that we camp with and then that we experienced last year is that you really never know what the weather is going to do.
No.
It's like being in Indiana. You know, it could be 75 degrees and sunny there for the next week and a half, and then it could be 57 and drizzle rain the entire time that we're down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been to the Roar years ago where we actually made about a 6 or 8 inch ice man on the back of one of the Taylor Dunns. So I would say the really nice days are far and few between. If that time of the year in Daytona, if you get a 70-degree day, you're happy. But, you know, you get all that wind coming. Because, I mean, when we spot from up top, you can see the ocean.
Oh,
so
wow.
So you feel that cool air come in. And, yeah, it's it definitely is a weather game for sure.
It is. Well, on the wind, like you just mentioned, yeah, the wind is intense. We learned that last year. Okay. I had all kinds of plans to, you know, do my hair and have it be cute because I was like, it's not going to be hot. I'm not going to be sweating. This will be great. And that lasted for about 3 minutes. And I had to throw it in braids because I was like, my hair is going to be a roughness by the end of this weekend with all this wind.
Yeah.
Yes. And you guys will probably agree. Isn't it funny how a racetrack where like 50 degrees at a racetrack feels like 25 at your house, you know?
Yes.
It's crazy how why it's always colder at a racetrack. I don't get it.
That's something I'm going to like think about to the day I die and figure it out. It is so weird about that.
Yeah, it's like spotting at the Speedway or Daytona. You come down to the garage and everybody's like, man, dude, are you a wuss? Why do you have like two coats on and a sock hat? And it's like, because it's like really cold up there. So between the roof at Daytona and turn three at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I think those are the two coldest places on the face of the earth. So
I would agree with that.
I think so, yeah.
So how is it for you spotting with the other two drivers? Do you do anything different? Because I know, like you said, you and Simon Pagenaud have been together for a while, so you guys kind of have, you have a really good rhythm. Is it different to spot for other drivers, or do you just kind of do your normal stuff, and then if they, you know, have things that they want you to tell them or not tell them, you kind of adjust as you go?
Yeah, it'll be a little easier this year. Montoya's Montoya. The guy doesn't give a crap what's behind him. It's full steam ahead. And that for a spotter is the dream. I mean, that guy, you know, again, I don't worry about anything behind him. If he's passing him, he's moving forward. And again, the guy's just easy to work with. Dane Cameron, mm-hmm. on the other hand, a little more technical, likes a little more information. Mm-hmm. And he comes from Action Express that a lot of times use NASCAR spotters. So he was used to a lot more chatting. And last year when I sat down with him, you know, he's like, man, you know, you can talk to me a lot. And I was like, you know, you're at Penske now, you don't need all that. Let me say what I need to say. If you want a little more, we'll adjust. But you know, I'm not going to NASCAR spot you. No offense to what they do, they're great at what they do, those guys are used to that. But you know, when you've got the Penske people on the timing stand, I don't need to be stepping on them. So that worked out great. And then, like you said, Simon, you know, I know when to talk and when not to talk to him. So, yeah, there's a little tweaks here and there between the drivers for sure.
Excellent. Well, you know, that does not surprise me at all about Juan.
No.
No, yeah, we actually joke sometimes, you know, about, you know, because Juan just loves to drive. And so, like, we say that all the time. We're like, Juan just wants to drive. He just wants to drive. He'll drive anything. You know, we make jokes. We're like, Juan would drive the tour bus at IMS. Like, anything that you would let him drive, he would drive it, and he would drive the crap out of it.
Yeah, so couldn't have said it better. You're right. You can see the enjoyment when he drives.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to be in a car 24/7.
It's just a joy watching that guy. And like you said, you can just tell the enjoyment he gets out of driving a race car.
Yeah. Yeah, he absolutely does. Well, yeah. Oh, I'm sure, yeah, anybody that can go out of the way, he's like, all right, children, adults are working here.
Right.
Oh, that's great. So how early do you guys go down? Are you down there on, you know, like Monday or Tuesday, early on in the week?
I'm lucky. I'll roll in Wednesday night.
Oh, nice.
Get in there Thursday morning and kick it off. So, yeah, but we'll be there naturally for all the sessions and then the qualifying, you know, and then try to get you a good dinner and a good night's sleep for Friday night.
Yeah.
Good deal. Good deal. Do you have any favorite places down there to go to? So we got a good suggestion of a seafood place last year, but we never made it over.
You know what? Thanks for asking that question, because that's a great question. I've turned some other people on to it, because I was turned on to it about probably 5 or 6 years ago. There's a place in New Smyrna Beach that's it's called The Garlic. Ooh. It's an Italian restaurant.
That's the place we heard that we have to go to.
It's my favorite restaurant that I've ever went to in all my racing. Love it. It's a given. Ooh. A given stop the night before the race.
Okay. The Garlic. Yeah. I'm here for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a place named The Garlic that is right up our alley.
Yep. You got it.
That does sound good. You were talking earlier, Mike, about how like there's a difference when you're spotting for your guys and they're like up front or they're not so much up front. Do you have to kind of adjust almost the what you're telling them or how you're talking to them if, God, you know, like, God forbid they have a bad race and they are about 25 laps down. Do you have to change something? Yeah. Or?
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. Because typically, you know, I'd say 6, 8, 10 years ago, when you had trouble, you just weren't up to speed for the rest of the race. Now these guys are so good in the pits and back in the garage that when they get the cars back out, typically, they're back up to speed. Like last year, we were fast. We were continually getting fast, and we had a couple of things happen to both the cars. But when they both come back out, man, we were the fastest cars on the track.
That's true.
But, yeah. But again, going years back, you had troubles. Like I was with Sharp's team, ESM, and when they showed up their first year, we knew we were a little underpowered. Mm-hmm. But they got into the tire barrier at the bus stop, not even before dark. And, I mean, that car had, like, a case of duct tape on it. I would guess we were every bit of 10 mile an hour off pace in straight lines. And it was, yeah. And we ran the rest of the whole 24.
Sure.
So the blow-up dance didn't work for me at that point. it was brutal. So, because not only do you have to get out of the way for the prototypes, some of these GTs that, you know, that got power down pretty good, you know, they're up your butt coming off each corner. They would love nothing more than to pass a prototype. So they're going to race you like they're in your class going for first place. So, yeah, it's a tough gig when your stuff's tore up and you're out there trying to make laps.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. Now, wait a minute. What's the blow up dance? I don't think we can let you go without explaining that to me.
So if you get down those 20 laps, I don't have that concern much anymore. Thank gosh, I've been with some good teams. But in the years past, you would have issues, and you would come in, and you go back out, and I won't say the year, I won't say the team, but you're 28 laps down, and the car's still running, so it's like 1 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So I start doing the old blow-up dance.
Uh-huh.
That's where I'm just hoping I'll hear that motor explode as it comes across the start-finish line. And it didn't work, I gave it a try. I tried my blow-up dance for a good 20 minutes, but it didn't work, so I gave up.
Well, yeah, at some point you got to quit, I guess.
Yeah, you know, just got to literally point your hands and shake your fingers at it and, you know, wave your arms around and say, come on, blow up, blow up, blow up, blow up, blow up. No, couldn't happen.
Put us out of our misery, please.
Yes, so that's the blow-up dance.
Okay. Well, sometimes you got to just put it out of its misery. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
So we were, I think last year we saw the start of the race from like that very high far corner and were able to kind of see the whole track. It feels like that track is just a beast to spot at. Indy's a beast too, but is Daytona sort of a trying to figure out where everybody is and the banking on that back wall? How hard is that for you guys as spotters?
I would say what we call the horseshoes, you know, when they come out of the pits, that first horseshoe in the infield and the little kink, that far horseshoe that's inside NASCAR 1 and 2, you lose a little depth perception. So if you're calling them clear, they're probably clear a couple laps. So a little bit of a blind spot there, but my guys know. Then as they're coming back towards me, what would be, I believe, the turn 6 area. I didn't see my track. But when they're coming back at you and getting ready to enter the banking, in the evening that gets a little tough to clear. So, again, if I'm saying clear, they're probably already clear.
Yeah.
Those are a little tough throughout the whole day. Not bad. Remarkably, it's pretty easy to see. The tougher ones, like when late a.m., mid to late a.m., you'll get a huge cast. The shadow will cast over the banking in 1 and 2.
Oh.
And it'll cover up. So if you're going up like against a Wayne Taylor car, it's actually tougher in the roar because the guys don't have paint jobs yet. But I know Taylor's one of the cars and stuff like that. Those cars completely blend in with that shadow.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But I'm a big, you know, some of these guys, they're younger than I, you know, their eyes are still bionic. I use a lot of binocular. And then the only other really tougher part is the bus stop. Not that it's hard to see. It's just no depth perception. It just looks like they're on a rail, so you can't see the actual width of the bus stop. So you just got to pay attention there and stuff. But not, it's probably easier than what you would think, honestly. Yeah, so. Right. Yeah, not too bad. Too bad at all.
Okay. Well, all right then.
What's your favorite hours of the day or night for this race?
To me, the race really starts sorting out between about 12 to 3. And then that sun, well, going back to the shadow stuff, when the sun rises, it comes over the back straightaway, favoring over towards turn 2. So you'll get a lot of shadowing there. But that's also a cool time. You'll see the infield start waking up. You know, the grill's kicking in. You know if you've got a good car. You know you're in the race by then. Mm. And it's just a really neat time to be watching a race. Spectator, spotter, it doesn't matter. So, again, that 12, you love the start of the race. You always like to start. But I would say that 12 to 3 and then sunset. Like,
AM?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Very cool. Yeah, we're excited. We've got a few people who said they're going to stay up all night with us. So if you need any coffee or anything, you let us know.
Well, if you make it up there, I have my ritual Friday after that final practice session when they actually all have to work, and I just try to stay out of everybody's way. I run over to the beautiful Target across the street there and buy my coffee maker, coffee filters and coffee, and they've got nice comforts up on top of the roof at Daytona, got plugs up there. So I will definitely have my coffee brewing before the green starts, so I will be good with coffee.
That's nice that they give you guys plugs and everything up there.
Oh man, they got it laid out. Like I said, it's built up a little bit from the roof, the spotter stand. Got a nice little counter up there, plugs up there, so yeah, it they've done a nice job. They did the remodel.
Oh, yeah, that's real nice to say. You can have a crock pot of some dip going or meatballs or something.
That's a good call.
Some chips and dip, I mean.
I mean, you keep us posted because we're driving down in the van. So if you need us to bring you a slow cooker, we got you.
All right. Bring a grill and I'll give you time to bring me some food up.
All right. Now, we travel with a grill, so.
We travel with a grill.
Very nice. Very nice.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, we are. We're gonna have to plan out our evening on what all we're gonna do. We did decide that we're gonna take pictures and post every hour on the hour that we're up and advertise who's still with us and shame anybody who's already gone to bed.
Because that's what you got to do.
For sure. Especially when they brag how they're gonna stay up all night.
Exactly. That's why anybody who says they're gonna stay up and then falls asleep will be shamed.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. Now, how long have you been spotting for the Daytona?
I do believe, I'd have to go back, but I do believe this will be my 14th year.
Awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't always with Penske. Who else did you spot for?
Well, I got started, fellow's name was Jeff Lohman, and Lohman worked at Kelly Racing back in the day, and he actually hired on with Brumos.
Okay.
And I got a call. I don't know how familiar you guys are with Brumos, but the only thing I could compare them to is they were like the Penske of sports car racing.
Ah, okay.
So when you get a call from Brumos to come down there, and one of the drivers is Hurley Haywood, it was pretty cool. So then I did Brumos, and then that morphed into Action Express. Then I did Action Express, and then I did Sharp's team for the 1 year. And went back and did Brumos on their final race in the GT series, which I will never do the GT series again. That's actually really work. I mean, I'm not even joking.
I can imagine.
I don't care if you're the fastest GT, that's work. And we weren't the fastest GT, so it was double the work. So I did that, and then I hooked up with Wayne Taylor Racing. Phenomenal group of people, man. Oh. I mean, from top to bottom. And now with Penske, second year.
Yeah, Wayne Taylor. They always. I'm a fan. I think that they. What you said. They always seem like a real good organization. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, even their presentation. I know they really push that.
Yeah.
I mean, just the, I mean, there's somebody sweeping all the time, even in the transporter, you know, they got the little fake plant sitting out, you know, the stuff that sponsors want to see, they want, they want to be entertained down there. And they just, they, not only are they good on track, but they're as good, if not better off track.
Oh, awesome.
That's excellent. Yeah, no, they do seem to have a very, well put together program.
Yeah.
So, well, and also that was very nice of Penske to let you guys use the trailer last year.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those stories I love to tell that we were at the Roar last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're working with Acura. I mean, this is a new program. They got important things to do. And I'm sitting out there talking to a couple of drivers, and Cindric and Penske are in a golf cart, and they stop, and Penske walks up, and I'm thinking, man, I need time for me to go. And he goes, hey man, I just want to tell you, it's really neat listening to how much different you spot compared to IndyCar. And I'm like, cool. And he's like, and hey, you stand outside? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And he goes, are you allowed to spot inside? And I said, yeah. And he goes, why do you spot outside? I said, well, I just get a better feel for it. You know, there's a lot of background noise in the press room, and I just, there's glare on the window. And I'm like, man, this guy's got this all figured out. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just knows everything. And again, it's another stamp of why he's so successful. You know, you think you're impressed, and then he talks to me about spotting an Aurora test, and he goes, well, hey, I saw where you were standing right below you is where our Penske suite will be. It'll be open all night long, so whenever you guys want to take a break, bounce down there, you know, and grab you some food and stuff like that. And I was like, man, that's the holy grail for a spotter at the 24. So I don't have to go sit in a passenger seat of a Camry or go lay on the floor at the press room. So I was like, oh my goodness. But again, it's just so impressive to see that there's nothing unturned with that team. No stone unturned with that guy. He's just got his finger on everything.
That is so cool. That is amazing. Wow.
Yeah, that, well, and I think that that is, I mean, that story right there is like an epitome of why the Penske team does so well and why Roger is, you know, just has so much, I don't know, admiration and, you know, well-deserved, you know, winnings and things is because, you know, it's something as, you know, he's not somebody that, you know, he does delegate, obviously, but he doesn't delegate to the point that he's out of touch with what's happening. He was you and was able to comment, hey, it's different how you, you know, how you spot here versus how you spot, you know, in IndyCar and this, and notice all that, and that he knew, hey, you're spotting outside. Why is that?
Yeah, that's
really cool. Well, and you know that, you know, he probably loved that you chose to spot outside, the spot inside.
Yeah, I mean, I it's what I've always done. It's what I'm accustomed to, and God love him, man. I wish I could spot inside. I'd give anything to spot inside. I just can't do it. And then going back to Penske, the other thing I love to say is, you know, and you guys mentioned it earlier, how he was up the whole time. Is, you know, I'm sitting on the radio. I don't know what time it was. It was dark. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice come over the radio, and I got to check off the bucket list because it was Penske. I finally got to be on the radio with Penske, and he's, you know, hey, you can get me from, you know, pit entrance to pit exit. I'll turn him over to you. You do your thing. I'll be on the radio while Kyle takes a break. And I was like, man, now I'm on the radio with Penske.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Cool.
That's a bucket moment. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think you mentioned that in our first interview with you, that was a bucket list item to...
Well, you can tell how much I enjoy it, I'm telling you again.
No, I'd be telling that story every day.
I would be telling, a different person every day, telling strangers.
I tell the same people.
And by the way, I was on the radio at the same time as Penske.
You're welcome.
You tell strangers, ask them, it's funny, people will say, well, what do you do with that race team? I'm a spotter. And then they'll look at you with crossed eyes. What's a spotter?
It's a very important job.
It is a very important job. That's fantastic. Now, so the drivers, do you guys, so you said you and the other spotter, you usually do 3-on-3-off. Do the drivers kind of do 3-hour stints, or does it just depend on the driver, depend on the day? Do they have kind of a rough outline that, you know, is subject to change?
I'm not. I think they definitely have a, you know, their time set prior, but you know, you'll hear them come over the radio sometime. You know, hey, can you go another stint? Mm-hmm. You know, I can't even tell you how long a stint is. I just know them as a stint.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're like, hey, can you do? You know, most of them will do double stints, and then you'll possibly, if things are going good, trying to maybe make up a lap or extend a lead or do this or that, or feel you may triple stint a driver.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, you know, that stuff's rock solid before they start the race, but I'm sure there's a little tweaking throughout, so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, because we're all curious as to, you know, how long each driver's going to drive and how that plays a part, you know, because it is an endurance race. It's, you know, it's interesting as opposed, well, Molly and I both were swimmers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we would have relay races, which is, you know, similar to this, but in ours, it was, you know, it's set, this person starts, these two people are in the middle, and this person finishes, and that's that.
Yeah.
Yep. You don't have to go back in and out of the pool, so it's a totally different way to kind of plan out your race.
Sure.
It's always interesting, so, yeah.
Very cool. So, yeah, so you guys are in Acura, then.
Correct.
And which are you in, just for everybody listening at home?
I believe I am on the 6 car. You know what? I just know the pretty paint scheme.
Well,
we've got the, they just put out a presser yesterday of the paint scheme for this race, and I guess it's in tribute to the Comtech team of years ago.
Hmm.
So a lot more orange on the car and white, so we'll have the white engine cowl and white across the front end. So yeah, okay. It's the car number 6.
All right. Car 6.
Very cool.
You almost got me there. I had to really think about that for a minute. It's like,
I'm sorry. I didn't make you to do it. I didn't mean to make you do any real work today.
No, good job. Keep me on my toes. So that's okay. I probably should know my car number, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
As long as you know what it looks like, I think you're fine.
Yes. The number's incidental.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like I can see them from up there. Anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. So then, do you guys pack it up Sunday evening and head back? And then, do you fly down?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, fly down. I've done the flying out the night of the 24, and mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the drive to Daytona to Orlando anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I don't know why, I'm just not. But there is not too many things as rough as hopping in a car after a 24 and driving to Orlando.
Oh,
so I'll take it easy. Yeah, and I'll fly out Monday morning out of Orlando.
Yeah,
so.
I can understand that.
Nice. I would say the only thing worth be driving into Jacksonville.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to laugh. I'd rather fly over Jacksonville, but
right? Yeah. No, Jacksonville sucks to drive in. It is the worst.
Yeah. Oh, and then you get to go through Atlanta too. Cool.
Oh God, yeah.
That's all right. Remember, we hit Atlanta in the middle of the night, so it's fine.
Oh, that's not bad then.
Yeah, that's true.
We fly through Atlanta about 1 a.m., so.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's true.
We pull our own 24 because we do drive. So, yeah, we leave Wednesday after work. Molly drives as long as she can, and then I pick up the night shift and drive as long as I can, which, well, last year took us to the Florida border.
There you go. And that's not bad, man. You got friends. Those are good times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Being the only person around here from with Penske here in Indy, I'm pretty much traveling by myself most of the time. So.
That does suck.
Sorry. It kind of does.
It does kind of suck.
Yeah.
It's way more fun to travel with a friend.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Well, so will Haley and Norman be at the 24 with Simon as well?
Well, I would... guess so. I haven't reached out to Miss Haley yet, but you know, that's where I do a lot of my pre-race debriefing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they're there. And you know, that's, it's so nice to have them there. They've now turned into my family away from the track, so you know, I haven't seen them face to face in September out in Sonoma, so I do look forward to seeing them. And yeah, I'm a fan of the damn dog too. You can't help
them. I mean, you can't not
you
be.
You can't not be.
No, and he you know, he knows me now, so, you know, we'll play some ball together and stuff like that. So it's nice. It's nice to have that away, you know, when you're away from your own family and stuff like that. So it's nice to have family like that on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. No, yeah. So he gets, he gets excited when he sees you now.
Yeah, no.
Norman is a great dog, and Haley is just fantastic.
Oh my God, such a sweetheart.
Yeah, Pagano overachieved with that one. There's no doubt about that. He hit a home run with that one.
Yeah, she
is fantastic. So yeah, I hope she's there.
Yeah,
for sure. Say hey to her as well.
Mm-hmm. Well. All right.
Anything else you wanna tell fellow IndyCar fans that maybe are watching the Daytona for the first time this year?
Mm.
No, yeah, it's definitely, if you're a racing fan at all, I mean, you got to watch this race, especially with the international star power.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about it is this, it's, you know, in the years ago, the 24-hour, they just, it's almost like the 500. You'd limp around for the first part of it to make sure your stuff runs. But, man, these guys, from the drop of the green, it's a sprint race for 24 hours.
Wow.
And now with the new coverage and, you know, having NBC on board, it sounds like their coverage is going to be magnificent. And, you just got to watch it. I mean, again, if you're a fan of racing whatsoever, I don't care if you're just an oval fan, just a NASCAR fan. If you like racing and you don't like the 24, something might be a little wrong. Just need to watch. Watch these guys go at it, you know.
Yeah. I like cool. it. All right.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you again. We appreciate it.
No, ladies, thanks. I'm always here to help you out. Appreciate what you guys do, and we'll do anything I can to help you guys out and get the word out and keep doing what you guys are doing.
We will.
We will. Else we can't.
And even then, we'll still go.
Perfect. And let's start praying now for some nice weather down there.
I'm right there with you.
Oh no, the prayers have already started.
Perfect.
Alrighty.
And I will end it with what is it? July or January? I'm sorry, January 11th, 12th. And girls, I'm going to go out and shovel my driveway.
Well. That's Indiana.
A great way to end an interview, huh? I'm going to go shovel driveway.
It's very Indiana of it's, you.
Yes.
It is.
All right. Well, after that, we hope you have a great rest of your day, Mike.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right. So we could not end this episode without discussing huge news that's hit.
Yeah.
We want to lead off with it, I guess. So we have a sponsor. Not us. IndyCar has a sponsor. IndyCar is a sponsor. The NTT IndyCar. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to pronounce that D as a T.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen. Especially when I get tired.
We're just going to say IndyCar. Yeah, but NTT IndyCar.
NTT IndyCar. See?
Yeah.
It's already happening.
Yep.
So sounds familiar because NTT Data, which is a subsidiary of NTT, was a primary sponsor of the Chip Ganassi cars.
Yes, and still is.
Still is. They will still be able to do it. I don't think that's effective for the Chip Ganassi cars at all, so that's cool.
Very cool. So we're happy to have a title sponsor.
We are. We are still waiting on a presenting sponsor for the IMS, for the Indy 500. There was a teleconference, actually, not this week. But last week.
Yes.
And Mark was like, we're still waiting. They're close. But obviously, they don't want to tip their hand on that one either.
Yep. So still waiting here about, yeah, the presenting sponsor for the Indy 500.
Yep. Kimball is with Carlin.
That is official. Charlie Kimball will be one of the drivers in the Carlin cars.
Really? I already thought that was announced.
Yeah, I thought that was a done deal already.
I kind of really felt that was announced.
Yeah. But you know what? Congratulations. We'll see Charlie Kimball.
See you, Charlie. At the next race.
And you know what? Actually, I'm very excited about. We'll get to see so many cute pictures of his baby at the racetrack.
Know.
I mean, let's talk about that.
Do they need a checkered onesie?
I always love when there's a new baby at the racetrack. I mean, we're going to have babies on babies.
There's going to be babies on babies
because
on babies.
The Kanans have a young baby.
Oh my God.
I was like, yeah, she gave birth not very long ago.
Yeah.
It was like August or September.
August or September. It's a little bit.
Right around there.
Well, that's about the time that Kanan... That Lauren
yeah.
Kanan. So I think Charlie's baby and Tony's baby are...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe like 6 months. You know what? Yeah, whatever. Maybe we don't test me on that
anyhow,
one.
But yeah, anyhow. But yeah, we'll have two cute little babies, cute new babies at the track this year, and I'm giddy about
that. I'm here
for
it. If they need somebody to watch the babies, we can actually do that.
Yeah, we can watch babies or dogs.
Both. Even both at the same time. Even both at the
same time.
I think Charlie's got dogs.
Yep.
There you go, Charlie. Hello.
We're always available for Norman.
Well, that goes without saying.
That goes without saying. Let's see. Mark Miles did say that we are...
Well, they're working towards it.
They're working towards it, but mm-hmm. it is a goal to mm-hmm. Get to Surfers Paradise in 2020, so start your savings now, kids.
So we got
to
start.
We're going to Australia.
Woo! This is when I would start playing the, you know, a Man Down Under song.
Yes.
But it's copyrighted, so I will not be playing that song.
Yeah, won't be playing it.
No, no. But just sing it in your head for a minute. Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, I'm giddy.
I cannot wait. Oh, my God.
Giddy.
My job is going to hate me. Because I think it's what they were talking... Like February 2020. So before
St. Pete.
St. Pete. Oh, God.
Which we said they'd have to bookend.
They'd have to bookend for an international race.
Yeah.
Especially with Australia.
Customs. Yeah. So...
Hey, man. I've watched Australia Border Security. I'm good.
They are DFS.
They are. Don't bring any food over.
Yeah.
None.
They are dead serious. Like, they do not play.
No. Even if you have a snack on the plane, don't take it with you.
No, it stays on the plane.
Just leave it on the plane. Be like, customs. And then run.
Yep. So, I'm excited.
I am too. I mean, I need the government to open back up so I can get a passport.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried right now. Okay. I need one to get into Canada now. Last time I went, you didn't need a passport. Now you do.
You can expedite one. You can.
They got to open up first.
I'm telling you. We've got plenty of time because you can expedite it.
Yeah,
in like
you can
10
do the
days.
Walkthrough. I know.
No, you don't have to go somewhere. You just pay a little extra money and like you'll get it returned to you in 10 days or less.
I know you can also, but if you go to one, you can literally.
Oh, just yeah,
walk
do the
walkthrough.
Yeah,
I had a friend who had to do that. Anyway.
Anyway, so we got time.
We got time. NBC released their television schedule, which I did not print out. Which ones will be on NBC, and which ones will be on NBCSN?
Yes. So the Indy 500 and the Grand Prix or the IndyCar Grand Prix
yes.
will both be on. The Duel in Detroit will be on, which bold choice.
Bold, okay.
Bold move. As I remember, there were 7 that were on.
Yeah. Again, didn't print it off.
No, I didn't either. I think Laguna Seca.
Yeah,
because
it's the Indian.
The closer. So there's 5.
Maybe Portland. Portland.
Yep.
And then it's got to be one. I don't know what other one would be.
I think it might be Coda.
Maybe.
It might be Coda.
I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but...
We're a very smart podcast.
We are.
Just making up shit.
Yeah, just making up shit. Just but yeah, I know for sure that, yeah, the month of May...
Month of May and the Duel.
Duel in Detroit.
I'm about 100% with Laguna and
yeah.
Portland. Because I remember Portland saying something like...
Yeah.
We're on NBC, but the rest will be on NBCSN.
Yep. And they've got an app, and they were talking about doing like some sort of package so that if
yes.
you didn't have cable, you could buy like a package within the app to still view NBC Sports Network for the IndyCar races.
Which is my
So yeah, right.
Or just do what all families do. Not share logins.
Yes. but yeah, so they haven't released any more information about that app, but that was the plan. They're kind of working out the details.
Waiting on it. So. Also, we do have to retract. So apparently, remember there's a photo shoot where Scott had the one on his car?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's actually not driving the one. That was a little joke by that sneaky Kiwi.
Yes, it was.
And I was like, damn it, Scott.
I know. It's like, damn it, Scott. Although, I did learn in that the number one is owned by the series. And the champion,
yep.
the team with the champion can choose whether or not to run the one.
Run. I like that.
Yep. But
and they
don't have to, but it is owned,
it is
by, the series,
owned by the series
and it's not
okay.
owned because I wondered like does Penske just own it?
Well,
like,
I mean
that's a Penske move. Like,
right. He's
I like, have the one.
I have bought the one.
Yeah. You might win the
Your
championship,
move.
But you ain't driving the one.
That's I mean, a power move.
It is a power move.
It's a power move.
Yeah, that's why it just felt right to me.
That's
but,
true.
But yeah, no, it is owned by the series. So
well, there you go.
But yeah. So Scott said that he doesn't really want to change. He's perfectly fine with the 9, but that ultimately it's Chip's decision because it's Chip's car.
It is. That is true.
So, and I think that's why Dixon has been with Chip for so long, because he was like, well, this is what I think, but I also know it doesn't matter because...
Because who's signing the checks at the end of the day?
Right. It's up to Chip.
It's up to Chip.
But yeah.
I'm going to start answering all questions like that at work. Hey, should we do this? It's up to Chip. And then just walk away. What? Who's Chip? Can we start that hashtag? It's up to Chip.
It's up to Chip.
It's up to Chip.
I'm going to start saying that at work, too.
Yeah.
It's up to Chip.
Hey, do you think this patient is going to make it? It's up to Chip. It actually works very well for both of our jobs.
Yeah, it does.
So, should we do this to this provider? It's up to Chip.
It's up to Chip.
And just dip. But you have to leave after you say that.
No follow-up questions.
It's like the blind, the bird box?
Yeah, bird box, yeah.
The bird box challenge. Now it's the Chip challenge. Get asked a question, answer, it's up to Chip, and then walk away.
Yep. Yeah, you can't leave any room for follow-up.
You really can't.
No, you can't. So, all right, well.
I think that's officially it for this episode.
I think that is. I think that's it for the week. So, we're gearing up for the Rolex. If you're going, get packing. It seems like it's far away, but it's not.
It's actually not. You have next weekend. The panic setting in.
The panic is 100% set in.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, you guys have a great week. If you're here in Indiana, hope you didn't get tired of shoveling, because it looks like we're getting more snow this weekend.
God in heaven.
Yay us.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.